Assalamu alaikum students. Welcome to another lecture of financial management. On behalf of the Ministry of Science and Technology Pakistan, Virtual University and Mubashir Humayun, I welcome you to this lecture. ابھی تک ہم نے اس کورس میں جو باتیں کی ہیں وہ بیسکلی ریئل ایسٹس سے متعلق ہیں. وی ہیو بین ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ انویسٹمنٹ ڈیسیجنس اینڈ وی ہیو بین ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ کیپٹل بجٹنگ ایز اٹ ریلیٹس ٹو ریئل فزیکل ایسٹس اینڈ پراپرٹی. وی ہیو بین ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ دی انویسٹمنٹس اینڈ ایکوزیشن آف factories, for example, machinery and plant. And now we are going to move to the area of securities. Jaise ki maine pehle bhi zikr kiya, real assets aur securities ki distinction aur farak aap apne zehen mein bilkul clear rakhein. Real assets is physical property such as land, building, machinery, equipment, inventory and so on, whereas securities basically are legal contractual paper, and it is literally a piece of paper. That is what a security is. We spoke about two broad kinds of securities. Ek to ہم نے سٹاکس کا ذکر کیا یا حصص. حصص وہ لیگل پیسز آف پیپر ہیں جو مالکیت کا ثبوت ہیں. شیئرز ریپرزینٹ اونرشپ. سو اف یو ہولڈ اے شیئر ان اے پرٹیکولر کمپنی یو آر اے اسمال پارٹ اونر آف دا کمپنی. دوسری سیکیورٹی کا جو ہم نے ذکر کیا جو ڈائریکٹ کلیم سیکیورٹی کی کیٹیگری میں آتی ہے اس کا نام بانڈ ہے. وی اسپوک اباؤٹ بانڈس اینڈ بانڈس ریپرزینٹ ڈیٹ. سو اسپیسیفکلی وین وی ٹاک اباؤٹ بانڈز وی آر ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ لانگ ٹرم ڈیٹ. ان دس لیکچر وی ول ٹاک اباؤٹ دی تھیوری اینڈ کلاسیفیکیشن آف بانڈس. اور شروع میں ہی میں کہتا چلے جاؤں کہ بانڈز کی اگر آپ بیلنس شیٹ کے حوالے سے کلاسیفیکیشن چاہتے ہیں تو اس میں آپ کو ایک چیز کا خیال رکھنا پڑے گا. وہ یہ کہ بانڈز کین اپیئر ایدر آن دی ایسٹ سائڈ اور آن دی لائبلٹی سائڈ. وائی از دیٹ؟ بیکاز کوائٹ سمپلی اگر ہم کسی ایک کمپنی کی بیلنس شیٹ کی بات کرتے ہیں اور اگر وہ کمپنی بانڈ ایشو کر رہی ہے, بانڈ ایشو سے معنی یہ ہوئے کہ وہ قرضہ لے رہی ہے, قرضہ لینے کے بدلے میں وہ بانڈ ایشو کر رہی ہے کسی بینک کو یا فائنینشیل انسٹیٹیوشن کو. اگر تو کمپنی قرضہ لے رہی ہے تو اس صورت میں بانڈ ایشو ہو رہا ہے اور بانڈ جو ہے وہ لائبلٹی سائڈ پہ اپیئر ہوگا. دا بانڈ ول اپیئر ایز اے لانگ ٹرم ڈیٹ under the liability side of the balance sheet. البتہ اگر کمپنی ایک بانڈ مارکیٹ سے خریدتی ہے انویسٹمنٹ کے طور پہ تو وہ مارکیٹبل سیکیورٹی کلاسیفائی ہوگا, اور مارکیٹبل سیکیورٹی جو ہے وہ ایک ایسٹ ہے. تو دیٹ ول اپیئر ان دی ایسٹ سائڈ آف دا بیلنس شیٹ. عموماً جب ہم بانڈز کی بات کرتے ہیں تو ہم بانڈ ایشوئنگ کی بات کر رہے ہوتے ہیں, بانڈ ایشوئنس, جس کے معنی یہ ہوئے کہ ہم بانڈز جو ہیں وہ لائبلٹی سائڈ میں کلاسیفائی کر رہے ہیں. تو یاد رکھنے والی بات یہ ہے کہ سٹاکس یا حصص مالکیت ریپرزینٹ کر رہے ہیں یا اونرشپ, اور بانڈز جو ہیں وہ قرض یا ڈیٹ ریپرزینٹ کر رہے ہیں. دونوں ڈائریکٹ کلیم سیکیورٹیز کہلاتی ہیں, دونوں جو ہے وہ کاغذی صورت اختیار کرتی ہیں. اور جب ایک کمپنی یا ایک کاروباری پیسہ اکٹھا کر رہا ہوتا ہے, جمع کرنا چاہتا ہے, سرمایہ کے طور پہ, تو اس کے پاس دو آپشنز ہیں. بیسکلی وہ ایکوٹی کلیکٹ کر سکتا ہے یا وہ ڈیٹ. ڈیٹ کی ایک فارم بانڈز ہیں, اور بانڈز کا جیسے میں نے ذکر کیا, اگر تو کمپنی بانڈز ایشو کر رہی ہے تو وہ لائبلٹیز کلاسیفائی کی جائیں گی جیسے کہ عموماً ہوتا ہے, اور اگر کمپنی بانڈز میں انویسٹ کر رہی ہے یعنی کہ اگر وہ مارکیٹ سے کسی اور کمپنی کے بانڈز خرید رہی ہے تو وہ مارکیٹبل سیکیورٹیز یا ایسٹ سائڈ پہ آئیں گے. ڈائریکٹ کلیم سیکیورٹیز کا جیسے میں نے پہلے ذکر کیا تھا, اس کی ویلیو جو ہے چاہے وہ بانڈ ہو یا ایکوٹی ہو, ویلیو آف اے ڈائریکٹ کلیم سیکیورٹی ول بی ڈیٹرمنڈ بائی دا ویلیو آف دی انڈر لائنگ ایسٹ. وٹ ڈز دس مین؟ لیٹ می کلیریفائی دا کانسپٹ. دا کانسپٹ از, فار ایگزامپل, لیٹس ٹیک دا کیس آف اے اسمال ٹیکسٹائل ویونگ یونٹ. پاکستان میں بے شمار چھوٹے اور بڑے ٹیکسٹائل ویونگ یونٹس لگے ہوئے ہیں جس میں ویونگ لومز ہوتی ہیں جو دھاگے کو کپڑا یا فیبرک, وون فیبرک کی صورت میں بناتی ہیں. اب لیٹس ازیوم دیٹ اے بزنس مین نیڈز 1,000,000 rupees ٹو بائی مور لومز اور مشینری. ہی ہیز ٹو آپشنز. He can either raise the money or collect the money in the form of equity, or he can raise the money in the form of debt. Let us suppose that he decides to raise the money in the form of debt. Main farak kya hai? The main difference between debt and equity is that when you take debt, ya jab aap karza lete hain, to aapko ek regular fixed interest rate ada karni hai har surat mein. اور اگر آپ نے ادا نہیں کی تو کمپنی کو بند کیا جا سکتا ہے. لیٹ سپوز دیٹ دی کمپنی ڈیسائڈس ٹو ٹیک 1,000,000 rupees ان دا فارم آف ڈیٹ. اس قرضے کی لینے کے بدلے میں کمپنی جو ہے وہ ایک بانڈ ایشو کرے گی, اس بانڈ کی ویلیو بھی 1,000,000 rupees کی ہوگی. دیر فور دا کمپنی ٹیکس آن ڈیٹ آف 1,000,000 rupees and they write or they issue a bond in favor of the lender. The lender might be a bank or a financial institution or any bondholder or investor. Now, the bonds take on the form of a piece of paper, and you can decide to divide up this 1,000,000 rupees of debt into 1,000 parts, and each one of these parts is represented by a piece of paper that has a face value or a par value of 1,000 rupees. So each bond paper will be worth 1,000 rupees. There will be 1,000 bond papers adding up to a total of 1,000,000 rupees. Now each bond paper carries the face value which is printed on the bond paper, and it also carries the coupon rate, the coupon interest rate. What is the coupon interest rate? Let us suppose that this bond carries a coupon interest rate of 15% per annum ya per year. Iske maane kya hue? Misal ke taur pe, is company ka bond paper koi bhi bond investor khareedta hai. 1,000 rupees investor ne diye, uske badle mein اس کو وہ بانڈ پیپر مل گیا. اب اس بانڈ پیپر سے اس انویسٹر کی آمدنی کیا ہوگی؟ کوپون. 15% پر اینم کوپون مینز دیٹ اف دا بانڈ پیپرز فیس ویلیو از 1,000 rupees, دا بانڈ ہولڈر اور انویسٹر ول ارن 15% آف 1,000 rupees. سو 15% آف 1,000 rupees از 150 rupees. This is how much cash the bondholder will get every year from the company in the form of coupon, or you might call it interest or markup. This is the income for the bondholder. there is of course the income in the form of coupons, and this is regular income that the bondholder will receive every year. The bond, as I mentioned, also has a limited life. So let us assume that for the textile company, the management needs the money for a period of 2 years. Now, what will happen? The company will pay interest or coupon to the bondholders for a period of 2 years, and after the two period is over, so after the 2 year life of the bond is over and it reaches its maturity date, then the borrower, in this case our textile company, will also have to return the entire principal amount that it borrowed back to the bondholders. So if you paid 1,000 rupees to buy their bond today, then after 2 years you will get your 1,000 rupees principal amount back. This is the other type of cash flow that a bondholder receives at the time of maturity. Right. Now, let's talk about some of the concepts that are related and that are common to different kinds of bonds. As I mentioned already, there are certain advantages and certain disadvantages to raising money either through equity or through debt. Equity ke advantages kya hain? Wo ye ki jab aap equity ke zariye paisa ikattha karte hain to aapko ek interest dene ki zarurat nahi padti. You don't have to pay a regular fixed amount of interest when you raise money through equity. So here this is a good thing, because if you fail to pay interest, then your company can be closed down. And this cannot happen if you raise money through equity. Equity mein bhi aap yahi karte hain. Misal ke taur pe, jis example ki abhi hum baat kar rahe the, agar 1 million aapko equity ki surat mein raise karna ho, usi textile company ke hawale se, to aap 1 million rupees receive karenge kisi investor se, اور اس کے بدلے میں آپ اس کو 1 million روپیز کی ایکویٹی یا شیئرز دیں گے. اینڈ ایز آئی ہیو شون یو آلریڈی, دا شیئر سرٹیفکیٹ از آلسو اے پیس آف پیپر وچ کیریز اے فیس ویلو اینڈ دا نیم آف دا کمپنی. سو دیز آر بیسکلی لیگل کنٹریکچل پیسز آف پیپر. لیکن یہ یاد رہے کہ جب آپ ایکویٹی کسی انویسٹر کو ایشو کرتے ہیں تو آپ اس کو مالکیت یا اونرشپ دے رہے ہیں. اینڈ دا لائف آف دی ایکویٹی ول لاسٹ ایز لانگ ایز دا لائف آف دا کمپنی. سو یو ول ہیو ٹو ڈسٹریبیوٹ اے پورشن آف دا نیٹ انکم اور نیٹ پروفٹ آف دا کمپنی ٹو دا شیئر ہولڈرز فار ایز لانگ ایز دے ہولڈ دا شیئر. Whereas, if you raise money through debt, you don't have to share a percentage of the net profits. Instead, you just pay a limited fixed amount of interest. But as I mentioned, when you raise money through debt, ya jab aap karze ki surat mein sarmaya lete hain, to aap ek risk ٹیک اوور کر رہے ہیں. وہ اس لحاظ سے کہ اگر آپ نے انٹرسٹ یا مارک اپ کی ادائیگی ٹائم پہ نہیں کی تو آپ کی کمپنی بند ہو سکتی. تو دیر از اے لیگل رسک اٹیچ ٹو ریزنگ منی تھرو ڈیٹ. ناؤ ہاؤ ڈو وی میجر دی ویلو آف اے بانڈ؟ ایز آئی مینشنڈ, دا بانڈ از اے ڈائریکٹ کلیم سیکورٹی. ناؤ the bond holder, the person who buys the bond as an investment, will receive coupon value in the form of an interest income, and he will also receive his principal amount back ایٹ دا ٹائم آف میچیورٹی آف دا بانڈ. تو اس کی آمدنی کے دو ذریعے ہو گئے, ایک تو کوپون ریسیٹس اور دوسری ریٹرن آف دی پرنسپل اماؤنٹ یا پار ویلیو آف دا بانڈ. ناؤ ویئر آر دیز کیش فلوز کمنگ فروم؟ ہاؤ از دا کمپنی ایبل ٹو پے انٹرسٹ اور کوپون ٹو دا بانڈ ہولڈر؟ ویری سمپلی, دا کمپنی از making cash from operations. In the case of a textile company, the company is selling fabric, and in exchange for selling this fabric, the company is receiving cash. The company is using this cash to pay the bondholder. So this is where the point that direct claim securities and their value is derived from the underlying real assets. In other words, جو bond کی value ہے وہ textile company کے case میں fabric sales کی آمدنی سے نکل رہی ہے, اور fabric ایک real asset ہے. So this real asset, cotton fabric, is the underlying asset behind the bond of a textile company. And this is what we mean by direct claim securities. And their value is derived from an underlying real asset. Now, let's talk about the next topic. We need to talk about the different characteristics of a bond. We've already spoken about a few, and let me talk about a few others. In the case of Pakistan, the bond takes on the form of a term finance certificate, jisko amuman hum TFC kehte hain, aur TFCs jo hain wo hamari jo teen stock exchanges hain, Karachi Stock Exchange, Lahore Stock Exchange aur Islamabad Stock Exchange, yahan pe inki khareed o farokht hoti hai. So the TFC or Term Finance Certificate is a bond and it is traded in the stock exchanges. Don't be confused, please, about the fact that a bond is being traded in the stock exchanges. This is quite common. So typically in Pakistan, the face value ya par value of a bond is 1,000 rupees. The denomination can change. It can be different from 1,000 rupees. It can be 10,000 rupees or even larger, 100,000 rupees. The life of a bond is limited. What are the lives of typical bonds? They can vary. You can have bonds that are of a lifespan of 6 months or 1 year or 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 30 years, and even longer. Who issues bonds? Well, whoever needs money, whoever needs to borrow money in the form of debt, will issue a bond and can be an issuer of a bond. It can be private sector or public sector, companies, or even individuals. Individual persons can issue bonds. Private sector companies, private limited companies, public limited companies, public listed companies who are listed on the stock exchange, and of course governments, all of these entities can issue bonds. Jisko bhi karz ki zarurat pade wo bond issue kar sakta hai. He writes a bond aur bond issue karne ke badle mein وہ پیسہ وصول کرتے. سو ڈفرنٹ اینٹیز ہیو دی لیگل کیپیسٹی ٹو ایشو اے بانڈ. ناؤ وی اسپوک اباؤٹ دی فیس ویلو, پار ویلو آف اے بانڈ. یہ وہ ویلو ہے جو بانڈ پہ لکھی ہوئی ہے. مثال کے طور پہ میں آپ کو سب سے سمپل اور عام قسم کا بانڈ پاکستان میں وہ دکھا رہا ہوں اس وقت, اٹس دی ڈیفینس سیونگ سرٹیفکیٹ. دس از پر ہیپس دی موسٹ کامن بانڈ ان پاکستان. دی ڈیفینس سیونگ سرٹیفکیٹ از ایشوڈ بائی دا گورنمنٹ آف پاکستان. دا گورنمنٹ آف پاکستان از دی ایشوئر آف دا بانڈ. دس بانڈ بلانگس ٹو می, سو آئی ایم دی بانڈ ہولڈر, آئی ایم دی انویسٹر, آئی ایم دا پرسن ہو ہیز لینٹ دا منی ٹو دا گورنمنٹ فار اے لمیٹڈ پیریڈ آف ٹائم. دس پرٹیکولر بانڈ ہیز اے فیس ویلو اینڈ دیٹ از دی ویلو ایٹ وچ آئی پرچیز دس بانڈ. آئی پرچیز دس بانڈ فار اے ویلو دیٹ از اسٹیٹڈ ہیئر ایٹ 50,000 روپیز اینڈ دس بانڈ واز پرچیسڈ 10 ایئرس اگو. This is a 10-year bond. The life of this bond is 10 years and its maturity will take place in 10 years' time. Now, this is the 10th year of this bond and it is at maturity. And the government has promised to pay me 213,000 rupees at the time of maturity. So I invested 50,000 rupees in this bond 10 years ago and now I will receive 213,000 rupees from the government. In this particular case, I did not receive any yearly coupon receipts. I only receive one bullet cash flow in the form of the 213,000 rupees after 10 years. This includes the principal or par value of the bond of 50,000 plus another 163,000 rupees in the form of coupon receipts or markup or interest. So this is a very, very common kind of a bond that is used in this country. We also have, besides the defense saving certificates, we have, as I mentioned, term finance certificates or TFCs. They are traded in the stock exchange. And we also have T-bills, treasury bills. Again, they are issued by the government of Pakistan and they are short-term bonds. And we have FIBs, which are again issued by the government of Pakistan and they are longer-term bonds. So these are the different kinds of bonds that you find in Pakistan. And of course, even if I had not told you about these different kinds of bonds, those of you who are new to financial management are familiar with at least one kind of bond, I am sure. And that is our very famous and internationally recognized James Bond 007. He too is a kind of bond. We won't be talking about him in this course, but the idea is that there is a huge variety of bonds. And I will go over some of the different kinds of bonds that you find in the international market. تو جس سے پہلے کہ میں آپ کو فرق قسم کے بانڈس کے بارے میں بتاؤں, کچھ ہم اور بانڈس کے حوالے سے بنیادی باتیں کر لیں. ابھی تو میں نے پار ویلو کا ذکر کیا. آئی مینشنڈ دیٹ دا پار ویلو اور فیس ویلو آف اے بانڈ از پرنٹڈ آن دا بانڈ, اینڈ ان پاکستان ٹپکلی اٹ از 1,000 روپیز. So, the par value is fixed, but bonds are traded in the market. As I mentioned, bonds are traded in stock exchanges, and the market price or the market value of a bond can move up and down. It can change every day. It can change from 1 hour to the next. The par value remains fixed, but the market value at which the bond is changing hands and being traded, bought and sold, can change. Why? Well, because the market price of a bond moves up and down depending on a few different factors. One of them is the supply and demand for the bond of that particular company. If the public perceives or sees this company as a very, very good investment, if they think this company will be growing at a very fast pace and it will be making a lot of money, then the market price of the bond might rise above the par value of the bond. Another reason why bond prices keep moving, and this is the major reason why bond prices move and keep changing, is that the interest rates affect bond prices. And we will talk in detail about the effect of interest rate on bond prices. Also keep in mind that, as I mentioned, there is a coupon interest rate that is fixed by the company. So, in the case of the textile company that we were just talking about, this company issued a bond, and the coupon interest rate on this bond was fixed at 15% per year. The company has promised to pay the bondholder 15% per year on the par value of the bond. So if the par value was 1,000 rupees, they promise to pay 150 rupees to the bondholder every year. This coupon interest rate is fixed, and the company must pay it, otherwise they will go into default and they can be closed down. However, the market interest rate in the economy keeps moving, and it changes from one day to the next. And we spoke about the changes and the factors that are responsible for changes in the market interest rate of the overall economy earlier on in this course, when we spoke about the impact of inflation and maturity risk and liquidity risk and sovereign risk. So you can refer to that. Please keep clear in your mind the difference between par value, which is fixed, and market value of a bond, which keeps changing depending on the market conditions and depending on the supply and demand of the bond in the market. Also, be clear about the distinction between coupon interest rate, which is fixed as a percentage of the par value, and the market interest rate in the economy, which is basically a macroeconomic variable, depends on many, many different factors. Now, let's talk about a couple of other key features of a bond. One of them is known as the indenture. Indenture is basically the legal agreement between the bond issuer, in other words, the person who is borrowing the money, and the bondholders who have invested in the company. Now, since there are many, many different bondholders, possibly hundreds or thousands of bondholders, who are holding different pieces of paper of the same company, all of the bondholders decide that they will give the authority for negotiating on their behalf to a bond trustee. This bond trustee is generally a financial institution like a bank or an investment bank or mutual fund, and they negotiate on behalf of the bondholders with the issuer of the bond who has borrowed the money from them. And this indenture generally is a long legal agreement. It can be anywhere from one page to 10 pages or 100 pages of fine legal print, which specifies exactly what the obligations of the borrower or the bond issuer are to the bondholder. So there is a relationship between the borrower, who is known as the bond issuer, and the lender, who is known as the bond holder. And this relationship is specified through a legal contract that is known as the indenture. One very important aspect of a bond is that of claims. Claims on assets. I mentioned earlier on in this course that bondholders are debt holders, and they have the first claim on the real assets of a company if the company goes bankrupt or if it closes down. So one of the reasons why a company can close down is if it does not pay the bondholders on time, the company can be closed down and the bondholders can seize the value of the assets to match the value of their investment. The bondholders have first claim on the assets, and after them are the stockholders or shareholders. They have a subordinate claim on the assets. So only after the bondholders have been paid the coupon, after the bondholders have been paid the interest or markup, can the shareholders collect a dividend. And recall from financial accounting that in the profit and loss statement, you only calculate the net profit after you have deducted the expenses, costs of goods sold, administrative expenses, and the financial charges, which includes coupon and interest payments to the bondholders. Only after you have paid the bondholders can the shareholders collect their dividends from the net income of the company. So please be very clear about this, that the first priority as far as payment is to the bondholder. And only then can the shareholders collect their share of the profits in the form of dividends. That depends on what the net income of the company is that year, and it also depends on what the management and the board of directors decide about how much money should be distributed to the shareholders and how much money should be retained and reinvested in the company. A couple of final features regarding bonds. One of them is security. When you buy the debt of any company, in other words, when you lend money, then you as an investor need to be protected. You have to have some sort of insurance. And what is the insurance of a bondholder or a lender? The insurance is that the bondholder and his investment are secured by an underlying real asset. In other words, when you talk about the bondholder lending money to a bond issuer or a borrower, then his money is protected by an equivalent amount and or an equivalent value of an underlying real asset that is owned by the company. Misal ke taur pe, pehle jaise humne textile company ki baat ki, jab us textile company ne ek ya 1 million rupees ke bonds issue kiye, to wo bonds jo the wo secured the. Wo kaise? Ke at the same time that the company issued 1 million rupees worth of bonds, they provided a security or a lien on at least 1 million rupees worth of machinery or inventory or fixed assets like land or building, that in the event the company fails to pay back the money, the bondholders can come and take over those physical assets. And the value of those physical assets is generally more than the value of the bonds that have been issued. So this is for the protection of the bondholders or investors. This is generally the case for mortgage bonds, but there are certain kinds of bonds that I'll talk about in a little while that are known as debentures, which are unsecured. And they are more risky because they may not have a real physical asset as a security. A final feature of bonds is known as the call provision. What is a call provision? Call provision is simply that in the case of most bonds, the bondholder reserves the option or the bondholder reserves the right to redeem or to collect the bonds at a time before the maturity. In other words, supposing that a company issues a bond for 10 years, this bond then has a 10-year maturity, the company will reserve the right to redeem or to collect all of their bonds and buy them back. In other words, the company will reserve the right that before 10 years are over, they might decide to pay all the bondholders their appropriate amount of money and to collect all of the bonds back. Why would a company do this? Quite simply, as I mentioned, the macroeconomic or market interest rates have an impact on bond prices, and they also have an impact on coupon rates. When the overall or market interest rate in an economy drops, then it is cheaper to collect or raise money through debt. So companies decide to redeem all of the old debt which was sold at a high interest or a high cost and to reissue new debt at a lower cost, at a lower interest rate. So this is one of the major reasons why the issuer of a bond reserves the right to call the bond before maturity. Now, bonds all over the world are rated by different agencies, and they are rated in terms of how risky they are as a form of investment. Internationally, the rating is carried out by two companies, which are the most famous ones. One of them is known as Moody's, and the other one is known as Standards and Poor's. In Pakistan, the rating of bonds is carried out by PAKRA and VIS. So these agencies rate bonds in terms of the overall risk of that bond and overall attractiveness of that bond. And that is based on what? It is based on the real physical assets of the company that has issued these bonds, and it is based on the financials of that company and the management potential of that company and various other factors. The risk of a bond, which is the main criteria for the rating, is based on many, many variables. One of them is whether the company is an operational profit, based on the profit and loss statement. Another is whether its operating cash flows are healthy, and that is based on the cash flow statements of the company. The risk of a company is also based on the amount of borrowing it has already undertaken. If, for example, a company has already taken on a lot of debt, or if a company has borrowed a lot of money, then that company becomes more risky as an investment. And we will talk in great detail when we study capital structure about the impact of debt or leveraging on the risk level of a company. Small companies generally are more risky, and their bonds are more risky as an investment. And of course, ultimately, the risk of a bond is a function of the overall risk of the country where the bond is being issued. So you have a larger aspect of risk that is known as sovereign risk or country risk, and that is based on the political environment of a country and the foreign exchange regime of that particular country. So the foreign exchange and the politics of a country and the stability of a country can have an impact on the rating of the bonds of the different companies in that country. So there are risk analysis is very, very large and extensive field, but I just have touched upon some of the key variables. Finally, let me just mention that the rating scale that is used internationally is a very straightforward one. The best rating is typically triple A or AAA. That is followed by AA, and then A, then triple B, then double B, single B, then triple C, double C, single C, and finally D. And of course, companies with a plus rating, a company with an A plus rating, is considered to be better. Its bond is considered to be less risky than a company with a plain A rating. And a company with a plain A rating is considered to be better than a company with an A minus rating. So this is a standard scale that is used internationally. I mentioned earlier that the bond jungle is a very, very vast and complicated jungle. There are a huge and immense variety of bonds all over the world. And a lot of creative financial engineering is going on in this field of bonds. There has recently been a very, very intense and hectic activity in terms of financial engineering that has been taking place in the equity side. And that is largely due to the fact that in most Muslim countries, the equity investment is considered to be halal according to Sharia, and therefore you've seen now a lot of very, very creative financial engineering work that is going on internationally, including in Pakistan, Malaysia, and in the Middle East, in the area of equity financing. But right now we are talking about bonds, and let me introduce you to some of the different animals in this bond jungle. The first one is perhaps the simplest kind of bond, that is known as a mortgage bond. And a mortgage bond basically is a bond that is backed by a real physical asset. And that real physical asset is the security for the bondholders. If the company fails to pay back the bondholders, then the bondholders can take over the real physical asset. The bondholders may take over the factory itself, or the machinery, or whatever has been given in the form of security. Another kind of a bond is a subordinated bond, and the difference is that in this case, the security and the claim on the security by the bondholders is subordinate or lower in rank to the investors who hold the mortgage bond. So the subordinated bond holders have a lower claim than the mortgage bond holders. If the company closes down, then the mortgage bond holders will have the first claim to recover their money by selling off the assets of the company, and the subordinated bond holders will have the next claim after them. A third type of bond is known as a debenture. And the unique feature about the debenture is that it does not have a real physical asset, which is a security for the bondholders. So in this case, the bondholders may have a personal guarantee from the management and the owners of the company, or they might have a corporate guarantee from a third company in favor of this company who has issued the bond. But there may not be a tangible, physical, real asset that is a security for the bondholders. Therefore, these kind of bonds are more risky, and typically they have a lower rating. A different kind of a bond that we have not spoken about yet is the floating rate bond. And the floating rate bond's unique aspect is that its coupon rate is not fixed. I just mentioned to you that coupon rates are generally fixed. But there are certain kinds of bonds whose coupon rate is tied to the overall market interest rate. So the coupon rate floats depending on how the overall interest rate in the economy floats. That's why it's called a floating rate bond. The interest rate might also be tied to the inflation figure or the CPI index. So these are known as floating rate bonds. A fifth kind of bond that is quite common is the euro bond. And euro bonds basically are bonds that are issued from a country that is different from your own. So if a Pakistani company issues a bond from London or Luxembourg in Europe, then that would classify as a euro bond. The coupon and the par value of that bond might also be in a currency that is different. So, for example, there are certain private sector companies that have listed their bonds in European exchanges, and those bonds are being traded in Europe, and those are considered to be euro bonds. Finally, two kinds of bonds that are quite popular. One of them, the junk bond. The junk bond is also known as the high yield bond. A junk bond is generally defined as a bond that has a risk rating lower than double B. So if you check the rating of a bond with Moody's, Standards and Poor's, or in the case of Pakistan with PAKRA or VIS, and if the rating of the bond is below double B, then it might be classified as a junk bond. And the junk bonds are typically traded at a deep discount, which means that you can buy them at a price which is much lower than their par value. In America, about 10 years ago, there was a fever of junk bonds, and one very, very famous personality that was attached to that was, of course, Mr. Mike Milken. And junk bonds landed the industry into quite a few problems because junk bonds were issued by companies that were financially very, very unhealthy and that ultimately went bankrupt. And there was a lot of investors' money that was tied and lost in the investment in junk bonds. Finally, there is a very, very interesting kind of bond that I should mention to you, and that is the convertible bond. Convertible bond carries the feature that you can convert the bond into a share or into equity. And the conversion price is generally predetermined or fixed. So in the case of a convertible bond, the issuer specifies that within such and such period or at such and such time, you can convert this one bond into an equal number of so many shares. And that is known as a convertible bond. So I have just introduced you to a few of the different kinds of bonds that you find in the international marketplace. There's an immense variety, as I mentioned, and we won't have time in this course to study the mathematics and unique features of each of these kinds of bonds. We will focus our attention primarily on the mortgage bond because that is the most standard kind of bond. Let me now go over the major areas that we've covered in this lecture. This lecture was an introduction to bonds and the features and concepts attached to bonds. We began by emphasizing the difference between debt and equity. I mentioned that although both of them are direct claim securities, there is a major difference between the two. Equity represents ownership and bonds represent debt. Equities would appear under the equity section in the liability side of the balance sheet, and bonds that have been issued and that are classified as long-term debt would appear also under the liability side of the balance sheet. I mentioned that you should keep clear in your mind that although generally we are talking about the issuance of bonds, which appears on the right hand side or the liability side of the balance sheet according to the American standard. So if a company is investing in the bond of another company, then that appears as a marketable security under the asset side of the balance sheet. Now, a key difference between equity and debt needs to be kept in mind. Equity represents ownership, and equity holders or shareholders receive a portion of the net income from the company. And the amount of dividends that they receive depends on the net income for that year, and it depends on the decision of the board of directors about how much money should be distributed. Bondholders receive income in the form of coupons, and the coupon is basically an interest income or a markup related income, and every bond that is issued specifies and has written on it the par value of the bond and the interest coupon rate and the maturity of the bond. At the very least, these three things are common to every kind of bond. I mentioned that in Pakistan we have a few very common kinds of bonds. One of them is known as the term finance certificate or TFC. Another one is known as the T-bill that's issued by the government of Pakistan. And a third type is the defense savings certificate, which is commonly purchased by individuals and households throughout the country. There are a few very unique features common to most bonds. One of them is the par value. I mentioned that you should keep distinct and clear in your mind the difference between the par value, which is written on the bond itself, and the market value of the bond, which fluctuates and moves up and down in the open market depending on the perception of that company and that bond in the eyes of the investors. I also mentioned to please keep very, very distinct in your mind the difference between the coupon interest rate and the market interest rate. The coupon interest rate is generally fixed by the bond issuer, and the interest rate in the open market or the open economy interest rate is an interest rate that fluctuates depending on various factors which we specified and talked about earlier on in this course. There is some terminology and definitions regarding indenture agreement, claims and security, and callability of bonds, which you should review. These terms have also been covered in Chapter 7 of Brigham and Kempinski. The rating of bonds takes place by various agencies, and I mentioned that internationally Standard & Poor's and Moody's rate different bonds in terms of their level of risk. Here too in Pakistan the bonds are rated. There's a classification system in place using letters A, B and C. And finally, I introduced you to some different kinds of bonds, which included mortgage bonds, debentures, subordinated bonds, floating rate bonds, zero bonds, junk bonds, and convertible bonds. So kindly go over some of the terminology. The main thrust will be the ability to price and to evaluate bonds, which we will talk about in the following lecture. I would now like to close this lecture. Thank you for your kind attention and patience. Aapko Ministry of Science and Technology, Virtual University of Pakistan, aur Mubashir Humayun ki taraf se bahut bahut shukriya, aur Khuda Hafiz.